Welcome to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh-day, featuring the teaching ministry of Troy Gadak. You can learn more about the Church of God Seventh-day at www.cscog7.org. Now, here's Pastor Troy Gadak.
Joy, I know in your life that each and every day, whether it be on the radio or the internet or on TV, you want to see another commercial and another ad, political ad, that might come through the waves and stream through and just touch your life. I know they do. The sound bites, the blurbs, the this, the that have been something. Today I wanted to look at it and really address this question because it's a hot topic within the Church of God. Because if I were to ask you guys right now, because there's many within our church, there's some who are saying, hey, are you going out to vote? And other people are saying, are you kidding? I don't vote. I'm a part of the Church of God. And other people say, well, wait a second. I'm a part of the Church of God and I go out and vote. And other people who say, you know what? And what do we do as American citizens? And are we conflicted? And are we, Yes. And so when it comes down to it, it's a very tough topic, but it's one that's very unique and it's individualized to each and every one of us. And so, but my question this morning is, I want to look at it, given the climate of our country, and you know our country, you're familiar with our country. And so sure enough, I don't know, maybe I need to speak on things like this a little more frequently because you know what? I got more responses on Thursday night's email this week than I've ever gotten in the past. In people responding back and telling me, of course Jesus couldn't be alive. Elected president. And so sure enough, that was one of them. It was so neat. In fact, he might be joining us online this morning. But Tom shared with me this week and fired back right away Thursday night. And he's writing back and he said, I'm going to tell you three reasons why Jesus could not be elected president of the United States. Let me tell you. Reason number one, here we go. Reason number one is, according to Article 2 in Section 1 of the United States Constitution... Tom shares with me and says, Jesus could not be a president because, of course, he is, number one, he is not of appropriate age. And appropriate age, of course, according to the Constitution, is that he must be 35. And when Jesus was alive, he didn't reach the age of 35. And so, therefore, he's disqualified from being president of the United States. There's one. And then Tom said, well, on top of that, he is not a native born. He said, did you forget, Troy, that Jesus is Jewish? And he is from the tribe of Judah. And sure enough, then he does not qualify because he is not an American citizen, native born of the United States, or he hasn't been a part of the original ones who came over into this country and therefore could qualify as a president. And so we look at that and say, and then the other one that he pulled out, which I thought I hadn't quite thought of before, was he said, and it would be in direct conflict to the United States Constitution because Jesus Christ holds a title of nobility. And we in this country hold no titles of nobility. In fact, it's written into the Constitution, Article 2, Section something something. And that says that, in fact, we grant no titles of nobility and nobody can be in, serve as a public official who has that title of nobility. And Jesus is, as Tom pointed out to me, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, therefore, he just could not qualify then as our President of the United States. So I got to thinking about that and looking at our United States Constitution and saying, yes, but look at it in the sense of he may be disqualified from our Constitution in being elected the President of the United States, but I would like to look at it and simply ask the question, could Jesus say we could, through the Constitution, be elected president? There, he is known as one of the most respected leaders in history. And in fact, not only is he the most respected leader in history, but he's also probably the most controversial. And so when looking at that, the world has ever known, and in fact, when people, many people will acknowledge and say, oh, he was a good man. Jesus was a good man, and he would be just a, wouldn't he be just a great president? Because he's a good man. And we elect good men. And so sure enough, that's our thought there. And many believe he was, in fact, not only a good man and a great leader, respected leader, but he was, in fact, a great man. And if he were on earth, that question today is, now would the American people here in the United States, some 300 and some odd million people, would we, in fact, ever elect him as president of the United States. The question really I'm going to share with you actually isn't that far-fetched. It really isn't. He said he was destined to be ruler of the kingdom of God, right? And that he bore authority and bears authority over the entire... We got to cut something. Cut my stuff. Do my yellow. And so when looking at this, I heard it coming through the monitor. All the monitors. So when looking at this, could Jesus be elected as a president today? And when looking at that, and when he said, sure enough, the Bible calls him, and when looking at that, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay. Could Jesus be elected in today's America? What are you thinking right now? I see some heads shaking. I see some heads nodding. Could Jesus be elected in today's America? And not around semantics, around could he? Of course he could. He's sovereign. Sure enough, he can make it happen, right? But I'm asking, would the American public elect Jesus Christ as their next president? I need to be honest with you. I think the answer is no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because bottom line, I don't think most Americans would tolerate a Jesus of Nazareth. And when looking at that, definitely if they had a choice, would they tolerate a Jesus of Nazareth in the White House today? I don't think so if they had a choice. Well, why? When looking at this and saying what kind of a platform would in fact Jesus run on, I want to look at this and to kind of see if you don't agree. Let's look at it and say, and I want you, as you think about this, I would like you to measure up around this because I think this is critical for us during this season of the year. Because I think for us, if we look at it and say, Jesus would be a model president, would he not? A model ruler. Well, what does a model ruler really look like? Let's look at the platform, shall we? Here we go. Jesus doesn't stand a chance based on his platform. After all, when you look at it, the American people demand that they elect an electable leader, right? And that also has become the focus, right? And when looking at that and saying, is he electable? Because a lot of times that's what the political party looks at and says, is this guy electable? Americans want religious freedom, do they not? Actually, Americans want, or some want, freedom from... Some Americans want religious freedom, but there are some who want freedom from religion. You know the difference? Some want to define who God is, or some want to define gods in their own way. Some want to choose what choices they make and what they do, and others want to just be bombarded with whatever comes down the pike and is fed to them. Whether it be media, films, books, whatever, who knows? Violence. The list goes on and on. Many Americans, in fact, demand unrestrained freedom. Unrestrained freedom, and unrestrained freedom in a variety of arenas. Whether it be from their own political life to their own economic life to their own sexual lives, they want unrestrained freedom. And they totally expect to be unhindered and totally free to say whatever they would like. Americans, I think, want total freedom. And when looking at this, Americans want total freedom defined in a culture and in a lifestyle and something, and they would like a leader that's going to mirror that. You know, we often put into office somebody who mirrors what the general population looks like, values, accepts, so on and so forth. Some of their Americans want, in terms of freedom, they want unrestrained divorce. They want, in fact, while at the same time Americans want truth and they want justice and they want economic and educational opportunities and things like that, but all freedoms and all social values must be defined in their terms. Do you see the difference that I'm getting at here? Jesus' platform identifies his terms. We don't like that as Americans. We want to define our social norms and values by our terms. And that's why the platform of Jesus Christ would not fly, because nobody wants his values. Nobody desires anybody else telling them what to do, because in our culture and in our society, we define our own values. And we define it because, after all, we are our own person, right? And in itself, we are our own God. I determine what is right and wrong, and I'll set those standards. I'm definitely not following somebody who is imposing those upon me, or let alone who purports anything that is contrary to my own unrestrained freedom, because I have a right to my freedom. Do you see? Above all, people want the ability to get the leader who they think best suits their what? Their lifestyle, their desires. And they would like to get rid of the leader that they don't like or that doesn't match up with their desires and lifestyle. Do you see it? Or maybe sometimes we just get bored with a leader and it's time for a change. But when you think of that, especially if this leader doesn't bring about the utopia that you would have hoped it would have with all the campaign promises that were made 4 years before. We're in that era now of those new campaign promises that will be made from this point forward. And we want choice, and we want choice on a regular basis, because sometimes we may not like it, and sometimes that doesn't match up with our changing desires and our feel. And so this, we feel, is our sacred right. And so therefore, we get a choice every 4 years, our sacred right to be able to do. But what Christ's platform would be and how that would impact the American voter is easily discernible from God's word, from the scripture. And that's what I love about this. Turn in your Bibles in real quick onto one. And maybe you have it marked already in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 is just a beautiful, beautiful passage. Hebrews 13, 8 basically says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. You can always think about that 13, 8 and put it to memory to say, oh, Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same as he was at Mount Sinai, as he was here on the cross, as he is when he is returning to this earth again. And the principles by which Jesus governs are the same because they, well, are not time-bound. And so when thinking about that, we read the Bible, and guess what? You don't have to go to his website to see what his platform is. Because, in fact, you can go to the Word of God and you can see right here what Jesus' platform is. Let's see what it is. I'm going to venture forward and say, guess what? Uh, This last week, the mayor, as I mentioned, came to a town hall meeting, and one of his missions during this term in office is Colorado Springs has gone through a change from a weak mayor to a strong mayor system, and city council they've just flip-flopped in terms of their role and their power and everything as the people decided, and to shift that, to become more efficient, as they say, within a government and to, as a city, and so on and so forth. And so one of the main key points of his term in office is he wants to transition city government. And it's a big transition. You can imagine from city council governing to a mayor having the strong arm within the city. And part of his is that transition. He's in a rather tough position to be in, very different from it was many years ago. Let's go back several years to the time of Mayor Bob Isaac that was in a different role, because city council was the strong arm, and we look back on those days of the city and where the city grew and how it changed, and now we look at it changing, and boy, to be a mayor in the middle of change, that's where Jesus would be. Do you see it? Because I think first and foremost, as Jesus in in his role as leader would redefine the mission of government. You ready? It's kind of like transitioning the city from a strong city council to a strong mayor. Okay? And so sure enough, Jesus would have to make some major changes. And I might be stepping on some toes, folks, because there are some folks that hold firm to these documents, but he would make some necessary changes to our Constitution. Yes. And some people say, well, wait a second, our Constitution, that's what we hold so near and dear, it's behind glass and bulletproof glass, and it's tempered and controlled and drops 50 feet below the earth, surface of the earth in the event of a disaster, and it's covered in safety and everything in the National Archives, and nothing's going to happen to it at all. And yet Jesus is going to change, or would change it. And how do we know he would change it? And how would he change it? Those are the two questions here. He would permanently change the very nature and the very intent of our government. If I were to ask you today, right now, what is the role of government? In your mind, right now, what is the role of government in our, not just in the United States, what do you see as the role of government in a society? Manage. Protection. Helping the needs of the people. Really have a hard time getting to what, yeah. So perhaps it has a lofty goal. Maybe it's not reaching that goal, the intent and purpose. I refresh your memory back to your American history class. You ready? The beginning of our document that runs our country currently sets up the role of and function and purpose of government. And with that, we have it documented in terms of a quick overview, of a kind of an introduction. We call it the preamble. Do you remember it? It starts with three famous words: we what? We the people. Okay, and so think about the principles that are outlined in the preamble. We the king? No. We the nobility? No. We the peasants? No. We the merchants? No. Do you see? We the people, this sets a precedence there, of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure these blessings of liberty to ourselves and our what? Posterity, those who come after us, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. When thinking about this, there's four things. Did you capture them? Establish justice. ensure domestic tranquility. I heard somebody say safety. Why is government here? Establish justice to make sure that things are just and fair and right. Provide for the common defense. Again, safety. And promote the general welfare. A rising tide floats all ships, right? When looking at that and saying, that's what we have for our country. You say, well, Jesus would change that document? That seems like a pretty doggone good document. And a lot of times people say, well, maybe this isn't quite it. He would, in fact, initiate a new constitution and change the intent and the nature of government. And here's how and here's why. Here it is. It designed, in fact, to fulfill the ultimate purpose. And the ultimate purpose for humanity, and that's where we can look at from the Word of God, that why He created man and woman to begin with, He would explain that His new government is designed what? And to do what? But to prepare the people to live what? Forever in the kingdom of God. If Jesus were elected president today, He would change and have to change the Constitution because the focus of the Constitution would differ from what we had always thought around establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare. He would call for a new world order, if you will. Oh, what? A new world order? What are you, conspiracy theorist? No. This new world order would be based on, well, his the Bible and his father's law. And sure enough, it would advocate the perfect society. Was it not what it was, like it was when he established it with the nation of Israel long ago? A perfect society, one that would promote peace, one that would promote human development, right? One that would promote love, and his new constitution and government would guide all the policies of social freedom, if you will, and those policies of freedom and political and social and spiritual. Do you know that that's what's missing from our constitution? You say, but wait a second, our founding fathers were such spiritual and God-focused people. Yes, some of them were, and I don't doubt that, but they were still men. And they were still flawed by human error, and they were still flawed by sin. And so the point that I get out here is when looking at this, Jesus' focus of the Constitution would be a transforming. Transforming what? Transforming physical man, yes. How? Into spiritual man. Or gearing them up for that, right? And preparing them for what? Well, preparing them, if you will, for A change of the physical man, because into the very image of God and the divine man with the nature and the character of God. Can you imagine what the educational policy would be within his government? Some people will say, yep, every kid would be homeschooled. Really? Think about that. All education and social policy would be directed to that objective. And to what objective? The objective of changing us, transforming us into the image of God. Our government's not... Since when was our government focused on changing us into the image of God? I haven't seen it in the Constitution. There's not a focus on that. Well, let's keep going. Here we go. In pursuit of that ultimate good... The founders thought that the American government should be based on what they acknowledged as God-given liberties, okay? And sure enough, those God-given rights, if you will, God-given rights. And remember what they are as defined in the Declaration of Independence? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Those three things, those God-given rights. Who gives you life? Not the government. Who gives you liberty? I'm amazed. You know, when I asked that question of when I used to be in the classroom and asked that question of kids, I said, who gives you liberty? You know what they say? government. I said, what? I said, are you sure? I said, who gives you life? Well, I challenge them. Then they got to think about that. Is it the sludge pool or is it God? Let's see. Amoeba, God. Oh, okay. And so they look at that. Who gives you these things? God-given rights. And so I talked to them about that. Life, liberty, and that pursuit of happiness. So when you think about that, those are those God-given rights that the founders of the Constitution did, but they didn't fully comprehend, because you know what critical piece of the Constitution is missing that does not address for us? And I want to get to it. The very heart of it is what they did not, even Jefferson himself, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, even Thomas Jefferson himself, did not fully comprehend God's ultimate purpose for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The purpose of life, folks, is not found in the United States Constitution. That's why I say, as much of a beautiful document as it is, framed behind the wonderful glass in a temperature and humidity-controlled environment, it's not a perfect document. And so when looking at that, the United States Constitution, sadly, is now the subject of so much interpretation that the founding fathers ever conceived this Constitution as a framework, but they never conceived this Constitution as a framework for what? For the development of human character. It was not designed for the development of human character at all. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That when you look at this, through the exercise of rights, do you know that we're destroying the very nature of pursuing happiness? Do you understand that? My exercising of my rights directly impacts somebody else's pursuit of their happiness. Do you see that even the Constitution itself is set up to juxtaposed, if you will, to be in conflict because it doesn't get to the heart of human and character development. And Jesus' platform would. Jesus' platform would get at the very heart of changing us into the image of God, and that's what we have when you look at that. But neither Thomas Jefferson nor any of the other founding fathers ever conceived that the Constitution would be a framework for the development of human character in the divine image of God's nature, if you will. And yet, you look at that, that's the very essence of Jesus' governance. That's the very essence of it. That's the platform that he would use were he to run for president of the United States. And truly, that's a tragic omission, if you will, in the American system. In the founding documents and truly the way of life, when you look at that, while filling these wonderful sounding, if you will, phrases, wonderful. In fact, some of those phrases are taken directly out of this book, do you know, that find themselves into our documents in this country. Even borrowed from the Bible, yes. The founding fathers never fully understood the ultimate purpose of government as revealed in Scripture. And most of them, in fact, considered themselves to be Christian, yes. And yet none of them really grasped the intent of Christ's pronouncements on government as he was proclaiming the good news. Have you been following? Do you remember the good news? What is the good news? Remember? You say, oh, yeah. We've been studying this for the last 2.5 years. The good news is, and people will say, yeah, the gospel. Okay, what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news, and they kind of give this cyclical thing. It's the good news, and it's the gospel, and the gospel is good news. And say, well, what is it? And other people say, well, it's Jesus Christ. Oh, it's Jesus Christ. Okay, well, what is it? It's Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, and he rose again. Oh, okay, that's the gospel. No. Other people say, no, the gospel is Jesus lived, died, rose again. He's coming back again. Oh, that has another component of it. And then other people say, no, Jesus Christ gave his life, and that is his Savior, but he lives again, and he calls on us to follow him as disciples. That's the good news of the gospel, that we're to be disciples. And so therefore, he is Savior and he is Lord. Well, so when looking at that and seeing exactly what that is, you see that he proclaimed the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God says, I died for you and I'm transforming you, all of us, into the very nature of God himself, so to speak, into the image of God, that when Jesus Christ comes back again, you'll be changed, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, or raised with the shout of the trumpet and the archangel. Changing lives. What would be the reaction to Jesus' platform? Changing lives? Think about that. Think about that in America today. If Jesus came forward and said, my platform is to change your life. Ooh, can you imagine? Yeah. How would that idea go over? How would the idea of a new constitution go over? How about that? A plan to abolish the Constitution and to replace it with one that was authored by Jesus Christ himself. Well, you know what? That would be a campaign killer. I mean, when you think about it and say Jesus would run on the platform of getting rid of the Constitution and putting a new one in place. No. We have a hard time even looking at a possible amendment to the Constitution to balance the budget or things like that, let alone scrapping the whole Constitution altogether. But many more positions that Christ took would, in fact, eliminate his chances of being elected. You ready for this one? For example, he advocated, well, what did he advocate when he lived here on this earth? He advocated the Ten Commandments. And he taught that they should be taught. And he kept as a standard for human behavior. And he said that these are the ten. And don't think that he said, well, what did he say? Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 17, he says, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to give meaning to them, to fill them up to the full. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Has everything been accomplished? Oh, not quite yet. No. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Guess what Jesus' platform would be? Teaching the Ten Commandments and teaching others to do them likewise. Maybe you boil them down to just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Either way, you break it down. Well, guess what happens with that? There goes the atheist vote, out. There goes the agnostic vote, out. And somebody who teaches the commandments of God, unbelievable. And sadly, there goes a lot of Christian votes, out. Wow. At least those who believe that the Ten Commandments are, in fact, too invasive. Too invasive. And when it comes to their own personal freedoms, right? The first commandments, you shall not have any other gods before me, would be considered, well, guess what? Oh, that's a major violation of our First Amendment. Do you see why, of course, it would not fly? Because our First Amendment says we have the freedom of what? Religion. But Jesus says, you shall have no other gods before me. And yet in our society, and the way we've interpreted that First Amendment is that, you know what, it is freedom from religion, not a freedom of religion. It's just like freedom from religion. Leave it alone. Box it up and don't let me deal with it. And I find it interesting. You know, we had our last retreat. It was a great retreat, fall family retreat. I encourage you to stay tuned for the upcoming retreat in the winter. Good, good conversation. We had a family that joined us, a guest family, a Catholic family, and enjoyed the time. They actually are from Poland, came over here in about 1990-something. And sure enough, as they came to the United States, they are noticing some trends within the United States that they notice and concerns them greatly. Because they see what we are doing with religion and the way that we've pushed and contained and pushed religion out of the different places, whether it be the school or whether it be the courthouse or whether it be any place else, and we've boxed it into the four walls like this facility right here. And as long as the churches are contained in a box, then life is good and that's okay. And they reminded us as in that retreat, they said, you know what? That's exactly how it was under communist Poland. Communist Poland really didn't have a problem with religion. The government was atheistic, yes, absolutely. But you could, in fact, exercise your beliefs as long as you kept it contained. You keep it contained, you'll be just fine. And that is the trend and the pattern in which we see ourselves. And we look around us and say, as long as you don't talk about it, remember? What do they tell you within social groups and at the workplace? Don't talk about politics or religion. Just keep it contained. You can do that on your week, Sabbath or Sunday, but don't mess with it. Interesting. You shall have no other gods before me. A large percentage of the electorate believes that observing the commandments and the laws of God would actually force a breakdown between church and state. If you want to, Jesus says, Matthew, turn over to Matthew 19. It's a great one. Look what Jesus says. If you want to, Matthew 19 and verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replies, the only one who is good, there is only one who is good. And if you want to enter life, do what? Keep the commandments. Or in other versions, obey the commandments. Christ's position on the Ten Commandments would be an affront to those who believe that grace does away with all of that and the need to obey the commandments. Do you see why? There goes a bunch of Christian votes right out the window. Okay, another factor is Jesus was Jewish. He was a member of an ethnic minority against which there is still considerable, even in our own country, prejudice. Jesus' customs, Jesus' teachings would appear far too Jewish. Are you kidding? For the average American voter, even the Christian voter. Well, see, because Jesus, in fact, kept the Passover, the Lord's Supper. And he told his followers to do the same. And he never observed Christmas. Oh, no. A president that doesn't observe Christmas? What's going to go on the White House lawn? Oh, no. You know the big tree's coming through Colorado Springs this winter, right? Watch for it in a few weeks. It's coming out of Colorado this year, the big old tree. Yep. As it comes through, you can put your little ornaments on it as it works its way to Washington, D.C. There'll be a big hoopla, a big parade, a big rah-rah-rah as the big old tree leaves Colorado. Jesus wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. Jesus also wouldn't have an Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn and invite all the kids to come and catch an egg. I don't know what egg's got to do with Easter. Anyway, that's for another story or another message on another time. And he also would not be in favor of any other non-biblical religious, in fact, practice that wasn't found within the Word of God. He looks too Jewish. He's losing votes left and right, folks. He might not even make it onto the ballot. Jesus, in fact, kept the Bible. Oh, no. Now you've got it. You've gone from Jesus keeping the commandments to Jesus not celebrating Christmas to Jesus not celebrating Easter to keeping the Passover, the Lord's Supper. And now on top of it, you say he kept the biblical Sabbath day from Friday night until sundown on Sabbath. And he even said he was Lord of the Sabbath in Mark 2:28 and his Sabbath observance. Well, you know what? Guess what that does, folks? Now we've got it about, just about maybe a few groups of people that are going to be voting for him. And that would be maybe Church of God, Seventh-day Adventists, you know, some Messianic Jewish folks, maybe. I don't know about Seventh-day Adventists. They keep Christmas, too. I don't know, you know. But anyway, we're getting down to a very narrowed group of people that are going to be eligible to vote for him. And I don't think that's going to be enough votes to put him into office. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and he would offend, in fact, well, he'd offend another group of people. Well, you say, what about the Jewish group? Well, he offended them as well. Because, in fact, the Jewish population and those voters would consider this, in fact, his claim that he was the Son of God. Well, that's blasphemous. And it's like, he's out. I'm not voting him in. And so then when you look at it and say, Jesus doesn't have a chance. And really, what kind of a leader would he be if he did get a chance? Well, ironically, the teachings that are the same factors that would make him a perfect leader are those things that what kind of a leader he would be. That the true irony of this, isn't it? That all of these things that would set him up for why he wouldn't be our president, and then you look at all of these factors to say why he would be the perfect leader. And what do we look for in a perfect leader? Well, let's see. How about one, integrity? Is he a man of his word? He says it, and guess what? It comes to pass. He's a man of his word. How about compassion? He reached out to the woman at the well. He reached out to those that were ailing and sick among them. He reached out to the kids. He reached out to the religious leaders, but they all rejected him. Talk about a compassionate leader. Don't you want a compassionate leader in office? Don't you want a man of integrity who says what he is going to do and he's going to follow through with it and his campaign promises are actually going to come to pass? I don't know about you. I'll take Jesus' health care plan any day. His miraculous powers of healing, Kaiser Permanente, don't quite measure up. Love for all and a willingness to die and sacrifice as a servant leader. Gosh, what more could you ask for? He looked at everyone. The Samaritan woman, somebody who wasn't of his race. Ooh, in fact, she was the lowliest. And yet he broke down those walls and those barriers. Races and religions, if you will, so to speak, and wow, economic status. Remember the Pharisees said? He eats with the riffraff of society. Who is he? That truly sets him apart. Jesus is the ultimate model of leadership. He's uncompromising. He's passionate. He's compassionate. And with perfect ethics. Jesus taught fairness. He taught concern for the well-being of everybody. He demonstrated virtue. He demonstrated truthfulness in all of his actions. And he taught the value of the family. He said marriage was inviolable. And he directed that that we should honor and we should care for. And who should we care for? The elderly, the widows, the disadvantaged. Yes, Jesus, though perfect in leadership, would never be elected president. Ironic, isn't it? Christ, you see, well, bottom line, Christ would never run for office. You know why? Because he would never attack others for self-promotion. Have you seen a lot of that? Attacking others for self-promotion. He wouldn't compromise truth. He wouldn't even compromise his ethics. No. He wouldn't compromise his values. He would not cave to special interests. He wouldn't cave to political action committees in exchange for donations. No. We must remember that, in fact, Jesus wasn't interested in political maneuvers. If he was, do you think he could have overthrown Rome? You betcha. You betcha. But he wasn't interested in exercising political power in this age. He, in fact, says, John 18:36 says, my kingdom is not of this, what? World. Let's remember that. And he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would what? Would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here. Folks, where does that leave us? Where does that leave you and me as servants in his kingdom? Are we fighting for his kingdom or are we fighting for the preservation of this flawed system? Don't have any regrets, and I hope you don't leave from here having any regrets that Jesus would not be elected as president of the United States. Because he, in fact, would not be president of any nation on this earth, not just of the United States. Can you imagine what bragging rights those would be? We have Jesus as our president. Don't you wish you did? No. He has, after all, already been selected for an infinitely higher office. He's already been selected. He currently serves at God's throne in heaven at the right hand of God. A lot better than the White House. You got to see the meals up there. He's our high priest. And he promises to return to earth as ruler. And truly under the auspices of his Father. And he's going to take the reins of authority. And sure enough, when mankind needs God's intervention to save us from ourselves, he's going to intervene. Whether it be Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, South Korea, North Korea, the list goes on to save us from ourselves. Or whether it be the United States of America. Jesus told the Roman governor, do you remember what he said? You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You remember in our transition in the message right now, we're going through the parables of Jesus. Why did Jesus all of a sudden shift to talking into parables? Because those who truly want to hear are going to understand it. Those who don't want to know it, they could care less and they don't get it. So what with the wheat and the tares in 2 weeks? The message of the Bible is that we cannot rightly rule ourselves. Do you understand that? Even we, the people, cannot rightly rule ourselves. We need a perfect ruler. We need someone who has demonstrated the ultimate love. We need someone who has demonstrated the ultimate concern for others to show us the way. And so Jesus Christ has perfectly qualified, and he will be that ruler someday. And I hope that when we look at it, what person we choose to place in office as we cast our votes or choose not to cast our votes, that we measure up against, no one will measure up against Christ. But hopefully we have something to measure it up against and not just the 30-second sound bites that we're bombarded with. I hope we look a little bit deeper. I hope we have an educated guess that truly says, who measures up? Who measures up to the standards by which Jesus Christ himself lived, and we fall so short. That's why many people say, well, we've got to choose between the lesser of the two evils. Well, that's all of us. When it comes down to it. The Bible says that Jesus one day will rule all the nations. You know that? And his throne is going to be in Jerusalem in what the Bible calls the kingdom of God in its fullness. Not only will it bring peace and prosperity, watch for those unemployment figures. 23 million? I don't think so. Prosperity that has been unknown. How about that gross domestic product coming out of Jerusalem? Accomplishing nothing less than the transformation. But what's more important than the goods and the things is that we'll finally be a part of a kingdom of God that is changing people. Not worried about what exports are, and not worried about where the national debt is, not worried about how spending is out of control, not worried about where healthcare is going to come from and who's going to provide it, not worried about all the ills of society in which we live today, because the focus of the government is going to be focused on changing people from the inside out. That's what's going to happen in the kingdom of God and under the constitution of Jesus Christ. In that very kingdom and his reign and his rulership, transforming humans into being more and more like Jesus. A totally new government that'll bring earth's citizens directly under the governance of the kingdom of God. Only then, and only then, will all Americans and all citizens of the world truly experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." That's John 10:10. He will found the first truly great society. One that surpasses even the most optimistic visions, those that have been dreamed about and those that have been proclaimed by politicians. Truly, we will see a time where "I have a dream" will come to pass. When Christ comes back again, there will no longer need to be a democratic process by which leaders are elected to top leadership. But in fact, he is king, he is ruler, and in fact, he has already been chosen as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's already issued a series of executive orders. And he doesn't endorse human political leaders today. But he does tell you and me to believe the good news of Jesus Christ and accept him as leader. I hope that even during this election season, we don't lose sight of our real leader. Amen? That in the midst of it, let's keep our eyes fixed upon the best leader we could possibly have ever asked for. Are we willing to make that choice today? Are we willing to follow through with that today? I hope so.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day. The Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day holds weekly Sabbath services at the Springs Community Church. The church's most recent messages can be downloaded at www.cscog7.org. There you will also find more information on the dynamic ministries of Church of God Seventh Day. Join us at the same time each Saturday for inspiring messages from God's Word.